Tell me a little bit what you know at the Hickel Highway. Just that, because that was some kind of a road before...
Well, it wasn't really a road. It was a trail. A winter trail was what it was. And, Marie, early on, you know, the old miners used to do this all the time. This wasn't anything new. They had stuff at Iditarod and Ruby and all these places. They waited for winter to come. And then they, when things froze up, they could take their equipment across the frozen tundra and frozen whatnot to get where they were going. It was a common method of transport in Alaska long before the North Slope. It just wasn't as intense. But really, there's not much to tell about the Hickel Highway. It was just ended up to be the central corridor for hauling overland in the winter between Fairbanks and Prudhoe.
Was it a prerequisite to any of the planning that came about with the haul road? Because it almost kind of take the same path, but not quite.
No, there was no relationship at all, except accidental, between the haul road and the final between the haul road and the Hickel Highway. The haul road was located based on the ease of grades, the constructability, and most of all the construction materials, the gravel. We wanted to follow a course where we've got the best non-frost susceptible materials, which in generally is along rivers or other drainages, and that was what would control the location of it. The two were tied together with the pipeline and the haul road were tied together because the haul road's basic purpose, although it was a state highway, was to serve the construction of the pipeline. So to some degree, the pipeline controlled where the road was going to go. But the two were, and their needs were pretty consistent. They both needed good material and good grades and good constructability access.
And tell me a little bit of your consulting role with Burgess.
I wasn't a consultant. I was the executive VP.
Executive vice president. Thank you. Tell me a little bit about that. When the TAPS came online, they formed Alyeska.
TAPS was there first, and they let contracts first, yes.
And that's the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline.
Trans-Alaska Pipeline System.
And then tell me a little bit about Alyeska, because did they have the route already kind of planned out, or how did that? And because
what happened was in 1969, when the environmental communities got a stop work order on the whole project, that was the pipeline, the road, everything. Nobody could do anything. Everything was shut off.
So nothing was.
Nothing was happening. Everything was shut off. To go back and let's start a little bit further back.
Okay.
Initially, in 1969, when oil was discovered, the oil companies took a USGS map, a 1 to 63,000 scale. They drew a line on it, and they put that out to various pipeline contractors and said, we want you to build us a pipeline from here to there, which is Prudhoe to Fairbanks or wherever. That's how they did it in the States. They just take a map, draw a line, and tell a contractor, go put a pipe in. Of course, they didn't have permafrost problems that Alaska had when they're building a pipeline in Texas and Louisiana, but the oil companies didn't realize this. So what happened was that if they'd ever let those contracts, it would have been a horrible disaster. So the environmental movement or whoever who put the stop to that was on target. That prevented some pretty disastrous results. But in any event, at that point, they had to become environmentally concerned. And the person that you're going to interview, Jim Rooney, he and Ralph Malachi were hired by, I believe, TAPS, the initial group, to start making a location survey between Prudhoe and Valdez based upon the availability of the best construction materials. In other words, avoidance of permafrost and constructing where there was good gravels. Ralph and Malachi and Jim Rooney were both hired by me in the Department of Highways in the early days. And Rooney's wife still hates me because I assigned Jim to Valdez. But that's the way it goes. That's actually what got him started. Both Ralph and Jim were there. Jim was the brains of the outfit. Ralph was the front man, if you will. But they were both knowledgeable. And they sat in a little building on Cushman in Fairbanks with aerial photography and did the basic location of the pipeline. And the road kind of followed that. Because if the pipeline was in the best soil conditions, the road would be also.
Right.
So the two kind of went together, and that's how that kind of got started. Then in 1960...
I'm kind of curious where that aerial photography is. He said he didn't have a lot of photos.
Who said that?
Jim, just through time. Maybe the company does, but it would be interesting to get some of those original...
Oh, I don't know if he owned them. I think they were all owned by Taps.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
And I wouldn't think he would have retained them.
Right.
But they are all available. I think the photos they had are all, were all USGS photos, and they're all available out of the USGF archives, I believe, in Denver.
Okay.
A lot of them were done right after the Second World War. That's when a lot of the aerial photography in Alaska was done.
Okay.